And while they're getting coffees, I think I will pray and then I will start. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word and the word that you've given me today. And I pray that you'll open our eyes that we can see the wondrous things that you've given me from your Torah. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart are acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock, you are my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I'm going to speak. Malachi reads my messages before I do anything. And actually from my reading my message, he brought up two songs today that he wouldn't normally play. Because I've titled my message, Arise, Shine. And last time I spoke to you, I told you that you were already above your enemies. And this week I want you to rise and shine so that everyone can see that you are walking in your victory. And we're going to start from our reading today from Shemot, Exodus 24:15. If we could go to slide 2, please. Moshe went up into the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of Yehovah stayed on Mount Sinai and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called Moshe out of the cloud. To the people of Israel, the glory of Yehovah looked like a raging fire on top of the mountain. Moshe entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And I want to go a step further, because we can picture him on the mountain. We can picture the fire, which is obviously a huge light on the mountain. So today I'm going to take it a little step further, as I really believe I'm meant to encourage you today. And the scriptures I'm going to speak now will be addressing in about 3 weeks' time, and I won't be on. It'll be Minister Sean that'll be doing it. So I want to look now at what happens when Moshe comes down off the mountain. So we go to Shemot 34:29-30, please. When Moshe came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets and the testimony in his hand, he didn't realize that the skin of his face was sending out rays of light as a result of his talking with Yehovah. When Aharon and the people of Israel saw Moshe and the skin on his face was shining, they were afraid to approach him. It wasn't a normal glow. We can look at some person and say, oh, you know, aren't they glowing? But this was a bright, shining face. And the next slide, please, in verses 33 to 35, it says, once Moshe had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when he went in before Yehovah for him to speak, he would take the veil off until he came out. Then when he came out, he would tell the people of Israel what he had been ordered. And when the people of Israel saw Moshe's face and the skin of Moshe's face shone, he would put the veil back on over it, until he went in again to speak with Yehovah. Fancy having to walk around with a veil over your face. It's like having a look at all those Muslim women that are completely covered. And you can't see. And that to me is a bit scary. So when Moshe went into the presence of Yehovah, he heard the word of Yehovah speaking to him. Moshe was given instructions concerning the tabernacle of Yehovah. Not only was Moshe given the details about the tabernacle, but he was also shown the pattern on how it was to be constructed and laid out. And this is very important. Yehovah's glory appeared to Moshe as a devouring fire, and the light that shone from the fire of Yehovah was actually absorbed into Moshe's face. and he shone with the same light that he saw. So that when he came down from the mountain to give Israel the words of Jehovah, he didn't know his face was shining. It wasn't burning. He didn't feel anything different. So he didn't know his face was shining. And this was not a happy... But this was not a happy expression on his face that the people saw. You know, when people got a happy expression, they say they're all aglow, especially pregnant women, or brides or whatever. But Moshe's face was glowing so much that if he had walked into a dark cave, he would have lit it up. That's the kind of shine that it would have been. Moshe didn't know that he shone like that, but the people didn't want to look at it because they were looking at Yah. They were looking at Yah face to face virtually. And Moshe, and can you imagine Moshe standing before you with a veil on his face? I couldn't. I like to see people's faces. I don't like it covered up. So when Jehovah's word comes to a person, it's said in scripture that the light comes to that individual, or some people say, well, I saw the light. Many times people see the light and others do not. Others are veiled from it. And that's where most of all of my Jewish family is. They are veiled from the light of Yeshua. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, we read a statement that tells us that a veil in the scriptures represents human flesh. So if we go to slide 5, please. Oh, they're beating me to it. He said he inaugurated it for us as a new and living way through the parakeet by means of his flesh. The parakeet was that curtain that went between the holy place and the most holy place. That is known as the parakeet, or as a veil. And if you read that in the authorized version, and I've given you two there, it says, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So Yeshua's flesh is a veil to many people as much as the shining of Yah through people can be a veil. And many people refuse to hear the message of Yeshua. And we say, yes, they've got scales on their eyes, but they've got a veil in front of them. They don't want to see the truth. Now, when the scriptures refer to the flesh and walking after the flesh, for example, it refers to the material things and concerns material things of a person that takes up all of their attention. Fleshly people are people who are materialistic minded. They are very physical minded people. The things that our flesh is concerned with would be the physical things in life, such as work, the clothes we wear, what we're doing after the service with our friends. Anything that is not spiritual is fleshly. Fleshly things are not all bad. I'm not telling you they're bad. But some people think that being carnal, which is another word for fleshly, is one, if one is carnal, they're evil. But carnal only means fleshly. Yes, there are some carnal things that are bad, but there are also many carnal things which are good. Marriage is one of them. I'm blessed with an awesome husband. Cars, we need them to get here and there. Money, without it, we can't survive in this society. Jobs, friends, they're all carnal things. But they are good carnal things. Carnal things are fine as long as they are in proper priority in our lives. But when it comes to the word of Jehovah and hearing Jehovah speak to us, we need to get our hearts involved and open our spirits up to Jehovah. which is a different part of us. We do not use our spirits when we're figuring out what we need for the groceries each week. Nor do we need our spirits when we have to work out which bill has to be paid this week and what can be left till next week. We can get by everything in this world without using our spirits. And that part of us is the spiritual side. But one place where our spirits mean everything and our hearts are most important is when we come to hear the living word of Yah. While we are in this place, we must open up our hearts so that we can leave here knowing that we've maybe one, learnt something, two, feel better because we've been here, and three, we know that what we've come here and how we feel, that we can go on living our carnal life through the week, because that's what we've got to do to feed our families and to look after our loved ones. As we know, Yehovah is spirit, and every human being has a spirit. I have to admit that most people don't even know they have a spirit. They don't know it exists. They know a lot about emotions and intelligence, which are things of the soul, but not very much at all about the spirit. And some people who try to understand what the spirits believe, and they are things of ungodly spirits. They read tarot cards, they read the horoscope, they do other sorts of things, but it's in the wrong spiritual realm. So yes, they know of those kind of spirits. So we need to have no veil of fleshiness over our hearts when we hear the word of Yehovah. Moshe saw somewhat of Yehovah's glory with an open face. When Yehovah spoke to him, Moshe's mind was on nothing else but what Yehovah was saying. He wasn't off on a tangent somewhere. He wasn't stuck in an iPad. He wasn't on his phone. He was face to face with Yah. But when he came down to give the same word to the people, his face shone so brightly with the glory of Yehovah that the people wanted him to veil his face. And Shaul says this about them in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 3:12 to 13. Therefore, with a hope like this, we are very open. Unlike Moshe, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the fading brightness come to an end. They could not look at the end. They could not look at the end of what he said. End in such contexts within the scripture can also mean purpose, because in the Hebrew there's more than one meaning for the Hebrew word. So we have to look at it in the Hebrew mindset. And so end can also mean purpose. They did not see the purpose of what Moshe was saying. When you receive the light of the word of Yehovah, you will also shine yourself. But if you are veiled from it by fleshiness, you will not shine and you will not comprehend the word spoken to you. You could have comprehended it, but you chose to think on fleshly things instead. And that's why the scriptures say in Yochanan John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the word. The word was with Yehovah and the word was Yehovah. He was with Elohim in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. We remain in the darkness when we do not comprehend the light. Everyone in the world who is not shining in Yehovah's glory is a person who never did comprehend the word of Yehovah. They may not have heard it yet, or they have heard it, but a veil of fleshly thinking blocked their minds from the light. We've had people in this room like that, but they just cannot make that one step of accepting Yehovah's word. They're looking for something deeper and deeper and deeper, but it won't be there. On the other hand, if you comprehend the word when it is spoken to you, as you begin to absorb that light, you start to shine yourselves. And this is not a physical light I'm talking about. Just as it was physical in Moshe's face, but this is a far deeper glory. It is completely spiritual. People cannot see spiritual things, but everyone is able to, somehow deep within them, sense something special from Yehovah about a spiritual believer. Can we go to Ephesians 5 and 11 to 14, please? Have nothing to do with the deeds produced by darkness, but instead expose them. Or it is shameful even to speak of the things that these people do in secret. But everything exposed to the light is revealed clearly for what it is, since anything revealed to is a light. This is why it says, "Get up, sleeper, arise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you." There are people who say they are believers or Christians and have never actually absorbed any light from the word whatsoever. Sheol told them to arise from the dead and the Messiah will shine on you. Or in other words, he will give them light so others could see that they are different and set apart from the norm. Notice that when Moshe was called by Yah, he was called up onto the mountain and he saw the light of Yehovah. And when he came down, he shone in that same light. We need to arise. We need to go up to the mountain. Going up to the mountain speaks of being shown the things of Yehovah. Can we go to Devarim, Deuteronomy 34, please? Moshe ascended from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the summit of Pisgah, through from Jericho. There Yehovah showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan. And in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 2 and 2 and 3, in the Acharit HaYamim, the mountain of Yehovah's house will be established as the most important mountain. It will be regarded more highly than any other hill, and all the Goyim will stream there. Many peoples will go and say, "Come, let's go up to the mountain of Yehovah, to the house of Elohim of Yaakov. He will teach us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths." And the next slide. "For out of Zion will go forth Torah, the word of Yehovah from Yerushalayim." And in Micah 4, 1 and 2, and it's going to repeat what I said, but Micah repeated it. "But in the Acharit HaYamim, it will come about that the mountain of Yehovah's house will be established as the most important mountain. It will be regarded more highly than other hills, and people will stream there. Many Gentiles will go and say, 'Come, let's go up to the mountain of Yehovah, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. He will teach us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths.' For out of Zion will go forth Torah and the word of Yehovah from Yerushalayim." It's really amazing how both Yeshayahu and Micah said the exact same words. And that's why I put them in there. They are so alike that Yah really wants us to get that point. The Talmud of Yeshua Yochanan, or John, went up to a mountain And he was shown the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and verse 10. And this is Jochanan speaking. Have I put that one in? Next one. That's it. He carried me off in the spirit to the top of a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from Jehovah. So Yah then took Jochanan higher than that mountain, and he took him actually into heaven, Hashemayim itself, in Revelation 4, and he was shown these things. After these things I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice like a trumpet, which I had heard speaking with me before, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things." When we leave this service today, some will be able to say, "I've been on that mountain with Yeshua." But some won't. Yeshua took Yaakov, Jochanan and Kepha, or James, John and Peter, whatever you want to call them, whatever's best for you, up on a mountain in Matthew chapter 17. And they saw him change and shine like the sun. They saw his glory, or what they actually saw was his true identity, so to speak. Come up to the mountaintop with me and see his glory. There are two aspects here. Some shine and know it, while others simply don't shine at all and remain in darkness. The next slide, please. In Yeshayahu 61:5, in the song we sang, "Arise, shine," and it says Jerusalem, but it's also the people of Israel and you who are the people of Israel, "for your light has come. The glory of Jehovah has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth and thick darkness on the peoples," and that's what we're living in at the moment, "on you Jehovah will rise. Over you will be seen his glory. Nations will go towards your light and kings towards your shining splendor. Raise your eyes and look around. They are all assembling and coming to you. Your sons are coming from far off, your daughters being carried on their nurses' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with delight, for the riches of the seas will be brought to you. The wealth of nations will come to you." We are going to be blessed, but we have to go against a world of darkness. And the darkness is coming, especially with this whole 5G thing. It is quite scary, the darkness that is coming, which means Yeshua can't be too far away. When Yeshayahu wrote, "Arise and shine," the Hebrew word for shine also means be enlightened. When you enliven something, you give it life and it lives. When you enlighten something, you give it light and it shines. When you're shining, you are changed. Something shines upon you and you soak it up and you go home shining with the spiritual glory from Jehovah's word. Don't you want that today? Moshe's face shone after Jehovah spoke to him about the tabernacle. Jehovah's word is about his tabernacle. His tabernacle in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, was a tent that he allowed Israel to build wherever Jehovah's Ruach actually manifested. It manifested or actually was sensed by the five senses. And it was something that could be seen or smelt or maybe touched, heard, and probably even tasted. His presence was so heavy. You know, we've been in a room and you can feel presence, it feels like you can cut it. Well, this is what it was like when you entered the tabernacle where Yehovah's glory and his cloud were full time. This is what they travelled with through the wilderness for 40 years in the presence of Yehovah. How I would have loved to have been there, to feel that sort of presence, knowing that that was him in there. Yehovah's tabernacle today through Yeshua is the people of Yehovah. Those who have accepted Yeshua as their Messiah have been immersed in water and immersed in the Ruach of Yehovah. When he begins to talk to us about how we are the tents of his Ruach, he wants to dwell in. He wants to dwell in us because we are his tabernacle at the moment. Once we comprehend that and receive it and put our whole attention to this very important area and desire for our lives, then Yehovah can use us and he will allow us to shine, because we are the tabernacle made without hands that Yeshua was speaking about. In Yochanan and Aleph, or 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him," Yeshua, "and proclaim to you. Yehovah is light, and there is no darkness in him, none." If Yehovah is light, and he talks to us about how he wants to tabernacle with us, and we are his tabernacle, well, it only stands to reason to me that he wants his light inside of us, his Ruach in us, that will shine and be his glory to other people. I want you to notice now what Shaul says about this veil and Moshe in 2 Corinthians 3, 12-13. "Therefore, with a hope like this, we are very open. Unlike Moshe, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the fading brightness come to an end." Shaul said that he would not be like Moshe and put a veil over his face so that people could not see the glory that Moshe had on his face. But instead of that, Shaul says he would use great plainness of speech. The Greek word for plainness is also translated as boldness. So what he is saying is that he's not going to put on a veil on one's face because it's symbolic of not speaking plainly. Yeshayahu said, "We must arise and shine. We need to come to the mountaintop when you come to Yeshua." That means we need to get away from all the lower things of this world. Our jobs, our situations at the bank, our situations with the family, and rise to a higher spiritual plane. Empty our minds of all things of the flesh and physical. Get ready to comprehend the things that are spiritual. You can worry about how the person next to you is dressed, or the shoes they wear, or what they've got on. But in our services, we are here to get out of the things of the flesh for a while and open up our hearts to Yehovah. Get that argument you had with your spouse on the way out of your mind, because that will only veil you away from the spiritual things that I'm speaking about. And it's amazing the number of times Malachi and I will get into an argument driving here on Shabbat. And I'm not joking. I am not joking. We immediately recognize it for what it is and command whatever spirit it is that is trying to prevent us from having peace on Shabbat to go and be gone. Get out. Stay out. You're not coming back in. This is Shabbat. But if Hasatan or the adversary can cause disharmony between a couple, to unsettle them to worship to the true and living Yah, he will try. But that doesn't mean he's going to succeed. Single people, get your mind off other single people sitting near you or being near you. Professionals, stop thinking about what you're going to do at work on Monday. But we've gathered here to worship Yehovah. Focus on him and comprehend his word this day. It doesn't matter what else is in your mind, let it go. Forget work. It'll still be there when you get there on Monday. When I it will, I can assure you. I worked for over 50 years in a proper job. I don't know what this is, but a paid job, maybe I should say. When I speak about how Yehovah raised us above all principalities and powers and made us sit together with him in heavenly places, and you go out and let the adversary beat you down over how no good you are, then something veiled from you, from what was, something has been veiled from you from what has been said in this message. The only reason the adversary can condemn a person with his lies is when that person already looks down upon themselves. Don't look down on yourselves. You've got to think highly of yourself. You're a child of Yah. If you know the word that's been said about you, and you know that you are holy and sanctified in Yeshua HaMashiach, when the adversary tries to condemn you, you should just laugh at him off his face. You just say what Yeshua says. Get behind me, Satan. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No word will be said against me that is not true. But the reason that the adversary can be successful at condemning people is because they have not comprehended who they are in Yeshua and what their immersion has done for them. We can be shining somewhat but do not realize it. And I know that for a fact about myself, because many people say I don't look my age, or say, what have you done? You look so much younger this week. And I haven't done anything different. But they're seeing something in me that I haven't seen. Even Malachi, I can be sitting at home and Malachi can walk out of one room into another room and he'll just look at me and he'll say, oh, you look beautiful. I say, what? I'm in my ordinary everyday old clothes. I've got no makeup on. I'm not, you know. But he sees something. Maybe it's because I've just spent 4 hours with Yah. I don't know. But that's what he says. And I always find it hard to believe. But then that's my stupid mind. But, you know, that's what he sees. And I can't tell him that's what he's not seeing, because it's his eyes, not mine. But it's Moshe was shining and didn't know it. Then we can be shining and not know it. Yehovah has removed all the pasts of those you who repented and have been immersed. And you are shining, but you don't know it. You are condemned when you are condemning yourself, when in actual fact Yehovah sees nothing but a person in his son whose condemnable past was buried and is no longer a part of you. But your mind is not renewed, and that's because you do not truly comprehend what had happened for you at the stake. It's time for everyone to arise and shine. It's time to comprehend the word that I've spoken to you today. It's time to concentrate on what I'm saying and let what you are reading sink in. So let's go to slide 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 17. For the Messiah's love has hold of us, because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind, which implies that all mankind was already dead, and that he died on our behalf of all in order that those who live should not live any longer for themselves, but for the one on their behalf died and was raised. So from now on, we do not look at anyone from a worldly viewpoint. Even if we once regarded the Messiah from a worldly viewpoint, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Look, what has come is fresh and new. All things are passed away. That means they are dead. If any mankind, that is man, woman, child, be in Yeshua HaMashiach, he or she is a new creature. That means any person. Some think, not me, I'm not good enough. That is foolishness. Any mankind is a new creature when they are in the Mashiach. We have to comprehend these words. They're not my words, they are scripture. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it goes on to say, Yehovah made this sinless man to be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him we might fully share in Yehovah's righteousness. So we have to hear what Yehovah thinks of us. We are the righteousness of Yehovah. We have to take that on board. And there are still people who can feel condemned. You have to let that go. We don't need to just read the word and comprehend the word, but we also have to believe the word and take it into our ruach, into our spirit, so that we can live the word. Amen. You need to see how Yehovah sees you and renew your mind the way Yehovah thinks of you. He looks at you as Yeshua HaMashiach, and that is only your only salvation. If you go and look at yourself apart from Mashiach, then you get condemned. And as I speak to you about the things of Yehovah, I'm speaking what he revealed to me personally by Yah. Light shone from Yehovah's word upon me, and I didn't veil my face, but instead I received the light. Like Sheol, this revelation or of unveiled message is so full of hope and power, but I want to be more like Sheol and speak it boldly and plainly. Because I think we all have to do that, and that's what's going to change our life. Can we go to Matt at Yahoo 13:22, please? Now the seed sown among thorns stands for anyone who hears the message, but it is choked by the worries of the world and the deceitful glamour of wealth, so that it produces nothing. However, what was sown on rich soil is the one who hears the message and understands it. Such a person will surely bear fruit, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Don't be veiled from this spoken message. Comprehend it, understand it. Don't let the thorns or the cares of this world occupy your mind when the word is presented to you. These are the veils that hinder Yehovah's light from shining upon you. Don't let opinions of other people who knew you before you were saved influence you. And that includes unsaved family and unsaved spouses. Don't let them throw back onto you something that happened before you were saved. That can happen. You are a new creation. And if they can't see it, then they need to open their eyes or get the veil away from their own eyes, because they don't know Yeshua yet. We go to slide 17, please, in Romans 5:19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the other man, many will be made righteous. And 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is his doing that you are united with the Messiah Yeshua. He has become wisdom for us from Yehovah, and righteousness and holiness and redemption as well. Romans 10:4, for the goal of which the Torah aims is the Messiah, who offers righteousness to everyone. And the next slide, Romans 8:1-4. Therefore there is no longer any condemnation awaiting those who are in union with Messiah Yeshua. Why? Because the Torah of the Ruach, which produces this life in union with the Messiah Yeshua, has set me free from this Torah of sin and death. For what the Torah could not do by itself, because it lacked the power to make the old nature cooperate, Yehovah did by sending his own Son as a human being with a nature like our own sinful one, but without sin. Yehovah did this in order to deal with sin, and in so doing executed the punishment against sin in human nature. And the next slide. So the just requirements of the Torah might be fulfilled in us, who do not run our lives according to what our old nature wants, but according to what the Ruach wants. We have to comprehend the truth of the word. These are all Yehovah's declarations about you. If necessary, these scriptures are all in here. And I started at 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? No. I'll go back. Romans 5:19. So from Romans 5:19 through to Romans 8:1-4, can I suggest, if you've got difficulty comprehending Yah's who you are in Yah, underline those scriptures, then go home and memorize them. Then you will get it into your Ruach, into your spirit, that you can never deny who you are. HaSatan can never condemn you if you have memorized scripture. And I want to go to Yeshayahu now, 60:1-3. And it says, "Arise, shine, Jerusalem, for your light has come. The glory of Yehovah has risen over you. For although darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, which is where it is today, on you Yehovah will rise. Over you will be seen his glory. Nations will go towards your light, and kings towards your shining splendor." And in 60:10, "Foreigners will rebuild your walls, their kings will be at your service, for in my anger I struck you, but in my mercy I pity you." And I know this is speaking of Jerusalem, but we need to look at scriptures and personalize them. And verse 10 says, "The people will build our walls, because in Yehovah's wrath he smote us, and in his favor he had mercy on us." What does that mean? It means death and resurrection. He smote us, he killed us, and our old lives died with Yeshua HaMashiach in his death. But his favor was so shown to us that we were resurrected with Yeshua HaMashiach on that third day. Yehovah is saying, "My light is your light. Arise and be enlightened." Let me finish with this last scripture in Colossians 3:1-3. "So if you are raised along with the Messiah, then seek the things above, where the Messiah is sitting at the right hand of Yehovah. Focus your mind on these things above, not on things here on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in Yehovah." We need to renew our minds by setting it on the things above. Have you ever seen yourself sitting at the right hand of Yah? It's time to arise. Come up to the mountain. Let Yehovah show you who you really are. See this seat in Hashemayim with all the principalities and powers at its feet. That is your seat, right there beside Yeshua HaMashiach. You are above the lowly thinking of this world and where you've been thinking you are at. It's time to rise and not look at things in the natural, but look at them in the spiritual. We are coming to a time when things, I believe, are going to get very hard for believers. Where the time is coming when we have to be careful what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. Because we are in a world where our gender fluidity and our feelings on that is not acceptable. Where places all over the world, whether it be in Israel, whether it be in America, it's already here in Queensland, where abortion is to 40 weeks. And we cannot speak out against it. I've already seen one woman taken off by the police because she was within 150 metres of an abortion clinic. Husband one day, she the next. Because they were standing against this, because they are pro-lifers. It's going to get harder and harder. We need to be in a right mindset with Yehovah. Let our light shine so people can say to us, what is it that you've got that allows you to cope in this world today? Because we're going to live in a world where the only way we can cope is because of Yah and because of his son Yeshua. I hope this has been encouragement to you. And I did hone in on this because the two main scriptures that I honed in on are coming in 3 weeks' time, but I won't be speaking then, Sean will be. So let us now go to the Yeshua Remembrance Service and give thanks to Yah for all he's done for us.